This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the outdoor show this morning.
Hello, everybody. Johnny B. here.
What up, good Johnny?
Doing okay, Captain Mick.
Late night. I've stayed to the bitter end. I just knew we were going to pull it out somehow. You never know when you're going to have that one big inning we're famous for, but didn't happen.
No, it did not. There was a close but no cigar.
How do you pronounce that monster hitter for the Rays? His first name's Randy. As of, whatever it is.
I can't remember.
7 home runs in the playoffs.
If I saw his name, I'd be able to pronounce it, but it's not coming to mind.
First thing I'd like to know, why would you even throw him a hittable pitch?
Who knows?
Anything over the plate. I mean, seriously? Oh, well. 2 fastballs in a row don't work on that guy.
No.
He whiffed on the first one, but he's not missing the second one. Same way with curveballs. You give him 2 of them in a row, and he's going to hit the second one out. But it was entertaining. It was, we went farther than I thought we would. I didn't even think we were going to make it to the playoffs this year.
I didn't think we'd make it past the A's.
I didn't either. I thought the A's would chew us up, but we came to life. It was fun. It was good. It was better than nothing.
That is better than a poke in the eye.
We didn't get all dressed up for nothing. That was good stuff. But hats off to the Rays. They're a good ball club.
Most definitely.
And I was nervous about that. I mean, I don't even think they lost 3 games in a row all year.
Man.
And to be able to take a team like that 4 in a row, that's the odds are not in your favor.
No, that's pretty hard.
I got a better chance of catching Big Trout 4 days in a row than beating those guys 3 days in a row. So, anyway. All right, Johnny B. Well, let's roll. It's a Sunday morning.
Let's roll.
It looks pretty good. Weather-wise, not too bad. Right now, down in Galveston, 76 degrees. That cold front was a bust. I mean, what did we get, about 22 hours of cool weather? But,
I mean, it's still slightly
quickly.
Cool, but it's warmed up.
Yeah, it's already muggy. Humidity's up, and
we're back to Houston standard.
Yes, we are. We're back to normal conditions around here. But sun and clouds mixed today. High of 82. Winds will be south at 10 to 20 tonight. Partly cloudy. Low of 77. Southeast winds 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow. Looks like partly cloudy skies, starting out a stray shower, thunderstorm could be possible in the morning. High of 82, southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. So the warming trend, we're back. Waiting on the next front now. But anyway, looking at tides for today, we have a Galveston Channel tide schedule. We have a high coming up at 4:39 a.m. It's a 1.6. And we have a low at 11:42 a.m., 0.1. And then a high tonight at 7:32 p.m., a 2.0. 7:23 a.m. is sunrise. 6:45 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase, 1%. All right, currently 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. The buoy out there showing 76.5 degree water with a south wind at 13, gusting to 18. Eagle Point, it's south at 11 to 14, 73 degree water. Morgan's Point is 78 degree water with a south wind at 7 to 10. Barometric pressure at all these stations is 29.99 inches. So there you have it, folks. Weather and tides and good luck and good fishing. Do we have the hammer up yet? Is he rolling? Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
What's up? I didn't think you were there for a minute.
Well, I'm probably not, but I feel like I'm.
Well, you're not all there, put it that way.
No, I'm never all there.
No, me either.
Good morning to everybody, and it's a great Sunday morning. Nice to wake up, be able to wake up. Man, it's just a blessing. That's all I can tell you. We got to get out and go see some wildlife yesterday. About an hour's drive from here is Sweeney, and a buddy of mine has 500 acres of old river bottom land.
Right.
And nothing but palmettos and just a beautiful. It's an old dairy farm, actually, and it was divided up into two or three big old chunks of land. Anyway, it's just beautiful, buddy. We went out and, heck, man, I cooked them some chicken fajitas. Doug, my buddy, brought his wife out there, and I brought my wife. And we just rode around the ranch and swept out the deer blinds and just kind of getting things. I don't even know when opening day is. When is it?
Opening day of what, duck or deer or what?
Deer.
Well, they both open the same. I think it's November. Let me look real quick.
First or third, something about a holiday.
No,
on
I think it's sixth or seventh, something like
right.
that. Let me find it here.
Anyway, I was curious, and Doug couldn't even tell me. He said he's going to have to check it out. But
let's see here. It's that Saturday, so we'll we'll figure this out here real quick.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, man, we didn't see any hogs or anything.
November 7th, yeah. It's that
November
first
7th.
Saturday, yeah. November 7th.
Okay. Not long away, man. Not long away.
And, no.
Everything looked great out there. You could tell from all the pecan trees and stuff of how they got ripped and, you know, how those old limbery limbs snap. And there was snap limbs from all that tropical stuff that we got here recently.
Yeah.
And he's had to bulldoze trees off of the senderos and the roads and just limbs and broken old trees. Man, these are 90 to probably 110, 120 year old oak trees out here, Captain Mickey. I mean, it's just absolutely gorgeous with that old Spanish moss hanging off of them everywhere.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty.
Everywhere you look, you can see a herd of deer, man. And they're not the biggest deer in the world. They've got nice little racks on them, man. I think we've seen an 8-pointer, a couple 6-pointers, and a few 4-pointers. But the little bitty bodied deer with nice racks on them. But anyway, hey, man, he's invited me to come out and if I wanted to. And I'm going to bring a friend. We're going back out there today and finish up, cleaning up, picking up, putting up. Like I said, he hasn't been out there in about 4 months. And just time to clean everything up. And man, we had a great time doing it. I cooked them. I did some grilled marinated chicken fajitas for lunch yesterday with some Belleville sweet chipotle sausage from a Sika deer that somebody had gave me last year. And I had it. I took it to Belleville and had it made. And boy, we had us a heck of a lunch. And even had a couple of adult beverages before we got out of there. Anyway. Hey, man, about 45 minutes from the house, and we're on the lease, sitting in a stand if we want to. I'm not going to do much
good.
Hunting this year. Yes, sir, I'm not doing it. Yeah, just to be, you know, an hour's drive from the beach, and we got to cross two rivers, the Brazos and the San Bernard, to get out there to Sweeney. But, man, it's just an old country, buddy, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I love everything about the woods, too. And I love the beach, but I also love the Nacogdoches is where my grandparents were from, and Melinda's parents, her dad had a place at Toledo Bend. She's a East Texas girl, so we've got a little country in us. And hey, man, just to be able to go an hour's drive from here and enjoy some great company with some great friends. And anyway, let's see. We're going to return today, like I said, and just go finish up and stuff. I've canceled my trips over the weekend because of all that front and stuff. I could have had I canceled one for Friday, which I had to. And then I had another deal that I could have done yesterday. It was some little boys. And I put them off till next Sunday. And anyway, we're going to take some little guys next week. And I got a couple of bookings on the schedule, but not really too much going on. Anyway, we're just, like I said, we're going to head back out to the deer lease today and just to do something different, see something different, man. We can only clean up, pick up, and put up so much around here. And we did it for about the last 2 months. It's just been a terrible mess down here. And hey, it's beach living at its best. And we don't live at the beach. Yeah. We live in the beach, Captain Mickey. But you got some trips coming up, some wading trips. What y'all planning
on,
man?
Yeah, just, you know, waiting for fall to approach.
That was a nice little blow, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it just didn't hang on. You know, all that 50-degree nights they were promising us, that made it one night.
Man, it felt good. It felt good.
Yeah,
but it
did.
Sure switched around. It switched around. That humidity came right back. It's
99%. Yeah, it just turned into a warm front and slid back up on top of us, and
that's
here we
crazy.
Go.
Crazy. Two more. I told all my friends and everybody, I said, give us about two more good, stiff cold fronts where that north wind blows for about 2 days. You know what I mean? Drop the water level, drop the water temperature. Oh, man, it's going to be on like a chicken bone. Birds are going to be working. It's just a great time of year. I love the fall. I love for whether you're getting ready for hunting season or, you know what I mean, your old neck swells up, man. Just you kind of go into rut this time of year, getting ready to get all worked up for all the hunting and all the fishing and everything that we got going on for us down here. We just blessed, man. I mean, to have a little bit of everything right here.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some cool weather for opening weekend of deer season and waterfowl. So,
man, that would be nice.
Yeah, just, it would.
Perfect timing with a little cold weather. Hey, man, it felt good to actually wear blue jeans yesterday or day before. You know what I mean? Put on some sweatpants and a long sleeve shirt. It just felt good just to get out of that old summer doldrum that we've been in. But hey, man, it is what we live in. Old
thing about all these bow hunters, man, sitting up in a tree burning up this time of year.
Oof. No. Hey, we were luckily the mosquitoes wasn't very bad out there. We had some bumblebees chase us, and that's what we did when took cans of wasp spray and got up in the blinds, you know, and just kind of cleaned everything out and sprayed for bees and this and that. Got them ready, buddy, and work on a couple of the tripods today and a couple of feeders. We're gonna work on them. He quit using feeders about a year and a half, 2 years after he started hunting out there. He used to put feeders out religiously. Then he figured it out. You don't really need them, man. Those deer are just out there in those woods. They're thick, man. They're really thick. I can't believe it. How many we seen yesterday? We must have at least seen 50 deer. I mean, just herds of like 10, 15 deer to a herd. You know, they were all over the place. And that's awesome to drive an hour from the beach and be able to see that kind of wildlife.
Mm-hmm. But, pretty cool. Man, all in Texas.
Yes, sir. Like I said, I've canceled most of my trips, so I don't have really any fishing to talk about. But if you are coming down into the area or tides are running a little bit high, I noticed last night they were coming on up into the yard. So we did have a good high tide last night, and the way the winds were blowing, we've got 7 to 15, I don't know which one it is right now, but east-southeast, which is a complete swing around from a day ago. So anyway, hopefully everything will calm down and we can get out and do some fishing here pretty soon, and I'll have you a report. Bait camps are holding bait. White flags are flying all up and down the coast from here to San Luis Pass. So the bait camps seem to be pulling in a few more shrimp right now, or something's happening, because I'm seeing that white flag fly a little bit more. And
that's not a surrender flag, folks. That's a live shrimp flag.
That's right.
Nobody's surrendering.
No, sir. That's right. White flag is for live shrimp. Yellow flag is for live croakers. Blue flag is for finger mullet. Red flag is for mud minnows and on and on and on.
Black what about flag, a black flag? Is that for raid?
Dead bait, baby.
Black flag insect dead repellent. Bait.
Plenty of black flags in the area.
All right, buddy. Well, Glenn, yes, somebody wants to call you. Leave them some info, bud.
Yes, sir. Call my wife on her cell phone at 713-208-0680, or they can reach my cell at 713-208-0683. Y'all have a great fun Sunday, Captain Mickey, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, Hammer. See you, man. Take care.
Yep. Yes, sir.
All right, later. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 419 in the Bayou City. All right, let's head down Rockport Way, and let's check in with Tony G this morning, Captain Tony Gonzalez, see what he's up to. Tony, what's going on?
How much, Captain? How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Good. The Stros didn't pull it off last night, I guess.
No, they didn't. No.
What was
they're not who we thought they were. No, it was 4-2. It was, it was 3-0 forever, and you know that's the way it works out.
Well,
gave up two more homers to them.
Oh, at the end, okay, they caught up.
Yeah, we had a really good eighth inning going, and Bregman struck out at one, and he couldn't have hit with a four before, 12 feet long. High gas, you know, 2 feet outside, high and outside.
Oh, I was always a sucker for that high pitch myself.
They got one guy on that team that can hit a high fastball, and that's Altuve. The rest of them are just, you know, Babe Ruth couldn't hit it, Mickey Mantle couldn't hit it. There was a bunch of them that couldn't, so lay off the high gas. It looks good, but it's impossible to hit.
The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field.
Oh, classic.
Well, I had two trips this week, one on Thursday and one yesterday. And on Thursday I had a lady named Cherry Morrill and her nephew. He was here from California. They were kind of hiding out from those fires. And they were real nice. Real nice people, and she was an artist, and I'd showed her some pictures. She's like, I used to be a photographer, but I do a lot of painting now. And so I was like, well, here, I got a really neat photo for you to see. And it was one when Andy had took a picture with his phone of a hooping crane from about 2 feet away, and it's just the hooping crane's face.
Yeah.
And she went ecstatic over that photo. She's like, oh my, she's like, that looks like an abstract art painting. And can I have that photo, and can I have his phone number? She's like, because, you know, when you paint something like that, it has to have a story, and technically, who's ever taken that picture, he owns the rights to it. I was like, oh, he would definitely give you permission to paint it. He's a very nice guy, and I talked to him. He's like, oh, yeah, have her call me for sure. So it was kind of a tough bite. They ended up with four reds and one black drum. And two of those reds came on our last anchor drop at like 3:30. So it was.
That wasn't bad for them. They don't have many of those in California.
No, they don't. and like I said, they were real nice and stuff. So that went okay. The red saved a day. And then yesterday I had these three guys that, you know, they tried to book in April kind of for a bachelor party sort of deal. And then that wedding had got pushed off because of everything going on this year. And so they were able to get out yesterday. And we ended up with two reds, two trout, two black drum, and two thumps. I was dragging a little bit on a drain for some flounder and trying to show them how I'd do it. You know, I always say in contact, but I had to kind of sweep my rod, reel that slack out. I was like, I don't like hopping it because I'll lose contact when I'm going for flounder. And as I was showing him, I got thumped. I was like, oh, did you see that? He's like, yeah. He's like, you're not supposed to move it, right? I was like, no, I just hit that button to sit here for a second, see what happens. And they just wouldn't, you know, take it and walk off with it. And then we did that redfish game, and we had our two redfish and those two drum in our first hour. And on that first anchor drop, that north wind, I used that wind in my favor, throwing at a windblown short line. So they're like, can we go trap some trout now? Sure. So as I told them before they, you know, I called them Friday night. I was like, y'all, there's no shrimp. I don't have any shrimp. My guy doesn't have any shrimp. And this is your chance for an out if y'all want to not go, you know, because we don't have bait. Oh, no, let's go. I was like, okay. Like, have lures and plastics and all kinds of stuff, even some stuff you never heard of. So they showed up, and James was like, I got a surprise for you. What? He pulls out a bucket out of the back of his truck. He found two quarts of shrimp on Friday night when they got here. I go, look at you. Like, I've never had a customer bring his own bait. That's perfect. Come on, let's go.
You know? Yeah.
So you could tell James was kind of he was in charge. He was from Port Arthur, and he was telling me his dad had a shrimp boat when he was younger. So he was, you know, come on, guys, we got to do this and do this. And they got on board, and I was like, well, I want to talk to y'all real quick before we leave this dock. Yeah, sure, what's up? I was like, when you step on this boat, this is not a democracy. It's a dictatorship. And guess who the dictator is? And they all started laughing. They're like, that's something that Bill says to us at the ranch, joking around. I was like, it's just, guys, there's just one rule, you know, that I've learned from the outdoor show that I get to, you know, talk on. And you never want to guide the guide. Oh, no, you're the captain. I was like, okay, well, with that being said, let's go catch some fish, you know. So we headed out, and they were a good crew, and we fished till 5 o'clock yesterday.
Dang.
And, yeah, you know, and they were getting it, you know, and like, y'all have that shrimp covered, or two of them did, and then James wanted to throw lures with me, and he was just kind of going through everything, and he was more of used to fishing, you know, like Port Arthur and Galveston, so he was wanting to leaning towards those brighter, you know, chartreuse colors. I think that's a little radical, so he kind of went through a bunch of different colors, and he had a couple of, you know, dinks on Bass Assassin little paddle tail.
And, yeah, a little like pink a roach. Roast, yeah. Oh, and, he was throwing a roast, yeah, roach.
Yeah, a roach with a chartreuse tail, and so I started digging around, and we had all our layers. We started off in jeans and jackets, and then everybody, you know, went to shorts, and I had, you know, so much stuff on my console. So I was digging there, and I looked down, and there was a purple demon on my floor. Well, I'll just grab that and try it for a while. First cast, boom, on some shell. He's like, oh, that's a good one. It was, you know, 16 and a half. I flipped it in. And I took a picture. I was going to put it up on the page yesterday. I just forgot to. Like, hey, these things work. You know, like Mickey will be like, you think? Because that's what he
I would never steer anybody wrong. Hey, if I can catch them on them, anybody can. My no fishing butt.
They're like, purple what is demons. That? Is it purple demon? It was like the clear one. You know, like the one like you were talking yesterday. One you can't see through, but this one you can. And like I said, it had already been used. Pulled off a jig head, I put it on there, and I just use those, it's like a, you know, not the screw on, but just the ones that have the little barbs. Never came on there, it was tight, and like that third cast, I was trying to tick that shell and stuff, and I was kind of double pumping it, and something loaded up, and then there for a second, I thought I just got a clump of oyster, and no, that big old black drum came up, and I couldn't tell you. I mean, from my waist down, about how big it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fishing a 13 fishing zero, the orange one, on a little bitty, one of the older Castaway rods, the go-to rod, I think it was. And when he came up, I was like, oh, God, this is going to take a while. Well, I cranked down that reel, and I beat that sucker in about 5 minutes. And they're like, I can't believe you beat that fish with that little rod like that. Like, yeah, I'm kind of surprised myself. And got a nice picture, let her go. And went to another area and tried to drift some more shell. And just little dinks here and there. And those two that were fishing corks, they were starting to really get that cork out there pretty good. Like, yo, that's great. Y'all are getting plenty of distance on it. And the Brian, he was the groom And he was the one who stuck those two reds, and both of those reds were about both at 26, 26 and an eighth, both of them, like twins. So he's like, hey, and at first he didn't like that soaking mullet when we started. This is how you catch them? Like, well, it's kind of as hard as you make it. Can we go do that red thing again? I was like, oh, you did like that technique. He's like, well, those suckers can pull. I was like, yeah, they can pull. And he had never even caught a redfish before. So okay, go ahead and reel them out. One more cast. Fish out that shrimp. And reeled it in or whatever. All right, let's go, guys. We'll go try to catch a couple mullet and start that redfish thing over again. And I took off. And I was, you know, reaching down, trying to grab my kill switch. I wasn't even looking. I could just smell slick. I turned, I looked, and there was a slick that was, I mean, the size of two RVs, you know. Like, whoa. Like, what? Like, y'all see that right there? I think, do y'all smell it? I think, do you smell something? And I do smell something. I was like, that's a trout's worst mistake, what Mickey says. Like, hold on. We turned around. And that's where they popped that second trout and a couple more dinks. And none of them have seen that. I mean, two of them was the first time, but James, with his dad being a shrimp boat captain, he said, I've never even heard of that. Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's slicks are makes my world go round real good. It gives me confidence. Let me take a quick break, Tony. I'll be right back, buddy. Hang with me. We'll see what happens here. All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 434 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Tony G and talk a little more. All right, Tony, we're back, man.
Okay. So I don't have nothing this week. Well, during the week, I had two next weekend. So I'm headed home today, and I'm going to the ranch maybe tomorrow or Tuesday.
Yeah.
Call a deer or two out. And
right.
I started kind of listening to, you know, everybody yesterday morning, Plog, Paradosky, and Jeffcoat, you know, you hear their energy levels, and I was kind of laughing, and all the other guys at the ramp were about the same, like, we're ready for duck season, we're ready for deer, so like, me too, guys, I'm going to block most of my weekends now, because Lamonte's got that new place that he built out there at the YO, and I was like, you know, guys, I can put you on a world-class hunt now, time of your life, beautiful deer, you know, you'll never forget. Oh, we can come out here and chase these dinks out right now that we're catching, and I'd rather go to the ranch and go look at some pretty deer, and that's the plan. And I kind of wanted to bring up something that Travis Hawkins, my buddy, lives there in Dickinson, old college buddy, his boy, he's been doing these father-son hunts through, like, Texas Parks and Wildlife.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, ranches open up the ranch to help them call out the deer and stuff. And he'd called me about 2 weeks ago that, I'm going to get to hunt the King Ranch. I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I've done this. It's like the third year. And after you do it 2 years, they kind of give you your pick. And I guess he's earned points or something through the system. And then he had two other, one buddy and this other lady that, her, you know, her boy doesn't have a you know, they're divorced or whatever. The dad's not around, and she wanted to get him in hunting. And, you know, what kind of gun do you recommend? You know, Travis, I shoot that 6.5 Swede or that 7 Mauser. And like, both of those guns, they don't really kick really hard. And it's not just a kid's gun. You can use that gun your whole life, you know. And he's like, well, that one guy, he has a 7mm mag 08. I was like, oh, no. I was like, 708. It's like, it's not a mag. Like, and that's a good gun too. And he's like, well, it was his dad's. And I was like, that'd be perfect. I was like, and be even specialer because it's a kid's grandfather's gun. So they had went out, and I was just kind of giving some instruction about muscle memory. I was like, look, Bill always wants me to put, I was like, when you go practice, I was like, if the person's right-handed, you put them on the right side of the stand. If they're left-handed, you put them on the left side of the stand. And Bill wants one, you know, the elbow that's cocked up on your right-hand side if you're right-handed. And like, he wants that elbow kind of touching and leaning up against the side wall. And then you have your other elbow down, and then you have your gun on the sandbags. It's like, so you have three anchor points. And, you know, like, I see a lot of people that are shooting, their kids have their elbows down to their sides, and they're not resting or anything, and that barrel kind of moves around. Like, one thing he preaches is, like, Tony, make them, you know, take the shells out, or, and you know, cocked that rifle, and he's like, put it on a screw on that feeder or on a cactus or something, and have them, you know, breathe out, pull that trigger with no round in it. I was like, it's perfectly safe. You're not going to hurt anything. And I was like, and he wants to, you know, he's like, when you pull that trigger, make sure your crosshairs don't move. And, you know, sometimes you'll do it and you'll see that crosshair move a little bit. And then do it again. He's like, he always recommends doing it like 3 times. And usually that second, third time, they're like, okay, my crosshairs aren't moving. I was like, okay, now you're ready. And it's kind of a, because when it happens, and those kids get excited. I was like, sometimes they can't find it in the scope. And then he was telling me that his son James, he's right-handed, but he's left-eye dominant. Like, uh-oh.
That's not good.
Bill would say, yep. Like Bill would say that you're messed up, and there's no fixing that. You know. I was like, well Travis. He's like, last time on a doe, he had problems finding it. And then he was a little trigger shy. Get him. What's wrong with you? Why don't you shoot it? And then he just didn't shoot that doe for whatever reason. And then when they got back to camp, all these kids had deer. You know, some had bucks, some had hogs, some had does. And then it got him excited. And he like looked back and tried, like, I want to get one now. You know, like maybe he was feeling a little shooting shy. And he was like, he went back out, and we had a hog come out, and he got that hog pretty quick. You know, he's like, almost before I could even get my binoculars up. So, but Travis, when we got in this little argument about using two eyes or one eye and stuff, I was like, well, Travis, I can't, sometimes you can't find it when you just have one eye on the thing. I was like,
no, I keep my off eye open.
Throughout your whole shot or just where you're looking for?
The whole shot.
The whole shot?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what I told him. Like,
that's the same way I shoot a shotgun. You know, just it just takes practice with it, but it's better you can see. You know, you see through the whole process. You can get your animal in the scope quicker with your off eye open, and then plus, after the shot's made, it's open. You can see the hit.
So, and that's what he was saying. You know, that he had, when he was because he does electrical work in Afghanistan on the bases and stuff, and then he was talking to those helicopter pilots, and he, you know, we were arguing back and forth. Like, I always shoot with one eye on a scope, you know, and I'm trying to learn to use two eyes on a shotgun because I know that's how you're supposed to. And I was like, but Travis, when you're like, dial that scope down to like a 3, and then have James have, you know, point that rifle with both of his eyes over the top of that scope and point that barrel at that deer, and then drop your head down since he's got, you know, he's left eye dominant. Drop that head down, and then that it should come into range. It should be in there. And then once he says he sees it, then as a dad, you reach over and you, you know, you focus, you know, zoom in on it for him. And he's like, okay, he's like, that's a good idea, you know, just to have both eyes over the top scope, find it, then drop your head down into that scope. I called him again last week. Well, how'd your rifle range day go? He's like, great. He's like, man, that 708 is something else. It's just a pop. I'm like, that's right. It's just a pop. And it's, you know, when a gun's doesn't have too much recoil, Travis, it becomes a little bit more enjoyable to shoot, in my opinion. And so they're all ready, and they're going to go to the King Ranch. And he's like, you need to get a kid. Like, well, I like Travis, I have a place to hunt, but I was like, yes, I would love to hunt the King Ranch. And well, so another buddy of ours, Daniel, he has twins. He's like, maybe that's what we can do. He's like, well, you know, we'll get Daniel to take his twins, and you can sit with the boy, and he can sit with the girl. I was like, that's a good idea. I was like, because, you need someone for each kid. So maybe I'll get on something with him next year, something like that. But
now, cool. All right, man. Well, Tony, it's always good talking to you, bud. If somebody wants to call you, get hooked up fishing or on a hunt or whatever. Give them a number out, man.
Sure. You can reach me at 210-846-5083, or you can go online to CaptainTGIF.com, abbreviate Captain.
And that's not Thank God It's Friday.
Tony Gonzalez, Inshore Fishing.
There you go, man. All right, Tony. We'll see you, buddy. You take care.
You too, Captain.
All right. Okay, that's Tony G down in Rockport, and now we're going to go back up this way to Freeport, from Rockport to Freeport, and we're going to talk to Captain Jeff Naylor, see how his week's going. Jeff, good morning.
What's going on, Captain Mick? How you
What's
doing
happening?
Oh, heck, man. I mean, doing a little bit of beautiful weather, I guess. Kind of heartbroken with the Astros deal last night, but, you know, hey, whatever. We got next year, and we're making
well,
it.
We can't be too disappointed. They've gone to the ALCS, what, 4 years in a row now? That's pretty impressive.
Sure, man, the way we started
World
out.
World Series
too,
twice.
Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't complain at all. Love the boys, man, and, you know, always great to see him play. But you know what? Like I said, not next year. It was a short season. We started out kind of rough, and you know, to be really honest with you, where we ended, I think that was a probably a far fetch from what we were headed towards. So I mean, I think we did real good towards the end there.
Yeah.
You know, so. But yeah, no. Other than that, man, you know, like a lot of these other folks, I canceled most of my trips this weekend. Little butt whoopers, but. Got a couple of those good open boat trips in last week, and man, talk about some stellar weather last week. It was absolutely gorgeous. Tuesday and Wednesday was just, I mean, like a dream.
Yeah,
unbelievable. I sent you those couple of pictures. We got went after shrimp boats because that's what we've been hitting and doing well on, and you know, that green water is pushed out way out there. It's probably, and I'm talking murky, fresh water, just mixed, nasty stuff that's stretched on out probably 65 miles or so. And, you know, for the previous week, it's just been sitting right there on that 65-mile line. Depending on where you're at, those shrimp boats are sitting right on the other side in the blue water. And the tuna bite was just on fire. And unfortunately, that's what we went and chased for both days last week. And they were all just sitting right inside the green water. And unfortunately, you know, it's slim pickings. Those shrimp boats really got to be in that good blue water. It doesn't have to be perfect blue water, but it surely can't be any kind of fresh water.
Right.
And so I was kind of let down, but, you know, at the same time, we made the best of it. Went out and caught some AJs, and, man, the Mahi run all of a sudden turned on. It just
I saw all those dolphins. I said, what is up?
I'm telling you. There's not much that makes a group of fishermen happy than, you know, heck, I start out, you know, I tell you how I do it, and I tell a lot of people this, but we'll get up, we'll see, I'll find a log or something like that, it's floating around, and I get one person up on the front with a little shiny lure, I mean like a $2 lure that I buy from, just weighted, shiny, sits up there on the top, and he draws the first one to the boat, and we keep him up next to the boat. And then, you know, I'll start throwing some chum out, you know, just little pieces of this and that. And we put everybody on with the, you know, a spinner with a little, man, like a number four cervical hook or something like that, real small, little mono or fluorocarbon leader. And put that little piece of chum on there, and we'll just start humming away at them, man. And they're a lot of fun. You know, that it's, you know, boy, they're just jumping everywhere, you know. And
right.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you the secret though, the real secret, is that those you know, those little schoolies, they'll stay up next to the boat and they'll get swarmed around it, you know, and you got everybody plucking them off. Well, those big ones, the big bulls and all that, they'll sit on the outside edge, just out of sight. I mean, every now and again you'll catch a little glimpse of one, you know, way out. And you know, I always put a little piggy on, a little small piggy perch, and cast it, you know, far as I can cast it, leave it as a drift line sitting out in the back somewhere, and 8 out of 10 times that big old stud is gonna smoke it, you know. And
right,
this day was no different. We got us a couple of pretty nice ones, you know. And yeah, I mean, you know, overall, I mean, any day out there that you get to go and enjoy some beautiful weather and
yeah, nowadays,
man, golly, yeah, it was just a dream. So we did really well on fish, caught our amberjacks, and of course the mahi, and whole bunch of other bottom fish and all kinds of stuff. So everybody's really happy. I mean, I got to take a guy, Joe Moore, out from Hooked Up Guide Service over in man, I can't remember where he's from. He's going to kill me for that. But anyhow, he, him and his son-in-law came. You know, and I thought that was pretty awesome. That you know, I could take another guide out, and man, they had a blast. And so they're going to come back several times. But yeah, overall, you know, it was really good. And unfortunately, like I said, I had bookings Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And man, it's just too nasty to try. We hit the jetty yesterday just to take a look, and it was probably 4 footers at the end of the jetties.
Right.
You know, just stacked like, you know, Rocky Mountains. So
yeah, close together and gnarly. Uncomfortable.
Yeah. Nah, yeah, that wouldn't happen. Nope. So at any rate, we'll try it again this coming week. I got a Sharky now. Sharky now is starting to do a couple of these little overnights and for some tuna. And I think our first one's this coming week, if I'm not mistaken. And so, yeah, man, we're gonna go give that a shot. Last week, I didn't hear much about the one report that I got from a marlin guy was they caught one blue, and I heard about some 10 whites caught down near Galveston Way. So for those folks that are gearing up trying to do some white marlin fishing, it sounds like they're around. We certainly saw them jumping when we were chasing shrimp boats on Tuesday, Wednesday. And, you know, I tell you, those white marlin are a lot of fun, and especially when they get schooled up and stuff. So a good day. I tell you what, if I can't get anybody to do anything else, I'm going to try to get them to go white marlin fishing, see if what we can do.
Heck yeah.
I saw, you know, there was a guy that goes with me a lot. Him and I talked for a little while last night. He was fishing a flounder tournament. He said this weekend there was some big money. He said $30,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
In a flounder. Are you aware of that one?
Yeah, that was your who's your flatty daddy or whatever that tournament is. Yeah, it's I think it was the 7th year for it. I saw a picture of one guy holding up a good one. It was over 8 pounds.
Holy and, cow!
I don't know whether it didn't give any caption on it whether he won or not with that, but if I was a betting man, I'd say he probably did with a big flounder like that.
That's a monster.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a doormat there, bud.
You ain't kidding, man. So they were giving away. Had several side pots for, you know, exact lengths and exact weights and this and that, like $25,000 a piece. And
goodness,
man, I tell you, I'm in the wrong. I spent a bunch of money to go out and probably win less than that offshore. I think I need to start directing my attention to a little shallower waters. You know,
yeah, I heard it was a zoo on the water yesterday. There was a lot of boats, you know, congested, packed.
I can only imagine. That wind was
plus,
humming.
Plus,
too,
there
man.
Was a Trump boat parade at Clear Lake yesterday, too.
Oh, God. Oh, those Trump boat parades. Let me tell you, that is the hit this year. Wow. They come by our place. You know, in little old Podunk Freeport, Texas here, you know, I think this year was like 1,000 boats. start up the water for a week, I guarantee it, man.
I promise you, there was some prop wash out of those days. That's crazy,
you
man.
You bet there were. You bet there were. That was funny. Well, that's good. You know, I guess, you know, I'm glad to see everybody in good spirits and, you know, from all the craziness going on. So
I'm telling you, now they're showing all these spikes in COVID, and it's like, it's not going away. I mean, I'm so sick of hearing about it. I don't even want to hear about COVID anymore.
No kidding.
Sick of it.
Almost to the point where, hey, just give it to me and let me get over with it. And,
that's
you know,
it. Get your immunity up and just go on down the road. Live your life.
That's it. I mean, we're all going to end up doing it eventually anyway, it sounds like. So, yeah, well, you know, What can you do, man? What can you do? They, you know, a couple more things too. They had a there's a big Mongo tournament, which is a nationwide tournament. Don't know a bunch about it. I know the last a couple of tournaments I did this week, this summer were qualifiers for this Mongo tournament or something like that. Well, they ended last week, and they had some man. They had some monsters on there. I think 851 blue marlin. Like a 350 swordfish. That's some big fish.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm assuming big money. I mean, you know, any kind of nationwide tournament's got to be worth something. But that was, I guess it ended last week or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah. And they got that tuna tournament down there in Port A right now. I think the saw the leaderboard was like 82 pounds or something like that. Man, I think that's going to get beat the first good day. Those big yellowfin are starting to come down through Venice already, and they're catching them in the deep rigs right now off our coast here in Freeport, Port A, all that good stuff. But it won't be long. They'll be in a little closer. That water temperature starting to drop a little bit, and that current starting to shift a good deal, so.
Yeah, because they've been catching some big boys over at Venice when they've been able to get out over there.
Man, some monsters.
Monsters. Big yellows, man.
Yeah, and, you know, I tell you, man, you know, a lot of people ask me how to catch those things, and I tell you the best way to catch them is live bait, you know, in my opinion. And, you know, soak them suckers, just sit there and bump troll, run those rigs and stuff like that, and boy, when he fires off, you'll know it.
Oh, yeah.
Freight train.
That's it, man. Like reeling in a dump truck, a fast dump truck.
Dang kid, man. And, you know, they're a lot of fun. Of course, you know, there's a lot to get them in, too, but a lot of fun. So hopefully we'll be headed that direction here in the coming week. This weather will chill out for us a little bit.
All right, Naylor. Well, I got to run. It's break time, but thanks for the update out of Freeport. And if somebody wants to get with you and wet a line, go hook up. How do they get a hold of you, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Call me anytime at 979-417-1013. Go to our website. It's stsladventures.com. That's short for South Texas Salt Life Adventures. We have a booking calendar right there where you can see all the available dates, everything's up to date currently, and just get out there and go to fishing.
Sounds good. Well, Nalem, it's always good talking to you, buddy, and have you a good week. Hope the calm seas, my friend.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it, Mick. You guys have
all right, bud. All right, Jeff. Good talking to you. See you later. Talk to you next week. All right, later. All right, that's Captain Jeff Naylor. Down in Freeport, and it's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.